Today's sermon text needs just a little bit of background. It's out of the Gospel of Luke. And it's a story about 6 months before the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said that she was become pregnant and she was going to have, give birth to this boy named Jesus. That same angel Gabriel came to Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth, who was a relative of Mary. And Gabriel told Zechariah that even though he was old and even though Mary was way past childbearing years, they were going to have this baby. This baby that would prepare the way for the Savior, for Jesus. And all this happened while Zechariah was in the interior of the temple in the holy place, doing once-a-year duties, once-in-a-lifetime duties for him. But it was too hard for Zechariah to believe, so understandably he offered a question, saying, "We're old. I'm an old man. My wife is long in years too. How can this be?" And the angel said, "Well, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of the Most High. And I've been sent to tell you this good news, but now, because you don't believe what I say, you're going to be silent until it all happens." And at that, and for the next 9 months, Zechariah had no voice. A priest without a voice. That'd be like a musician without music, or a painter without paint, or teenagers without a cell phone, or any of us without a cell phone for 9 months, like until next August. But Elizabeth, who would be impacted the most by this, she said this: "The Lord has done this for me. The Lord has done this for me, not to me, but for me. In these days He has shown His favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Her disgrace having to do with infertility. Partway through chapter 1 of Luke, Elizabeth gave birth to this baby, and friends and relatives gathered around her. And 8 days went by, the required time between birth and circumcision, and people began asking what this baby's name would be, assuming he'd be named after his father. Still unable to speak, Zechariah the priest wrote on a tablet, "His name is John." And then he wrote it again, "His name is John." And at that, he began to speak. His voice came back, and it was like a dam bursting, and all these words came out. But they weren't just his own words, the words of a dad overwhelmed by becoming a new dad. What he said, what he sang, comes directly out of the Old Testament, out of Malachi and Isaiah and the Psalms, the prayers of David. And filled with the Holy Spirit, Zechariah drew words from the deep, sacred history of faith, praising God for God's power and closeness and the remembered promises of salvation and redemption, all of it rising up like dawn after a long, cold night. It was all coming to bear right here, right now, in the birth of this baby named John, who had become John the Baptist. So turn with me to Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 67, and then it might be good to keep your Bibles open. So here is Zechariah's song. His father, John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come to His people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He said through His holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember His holy covenant, the oath He swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days." In holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for Him, to give His people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine in those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We can only imagine what 9 months of silence would be like from here until August, and what they would have been like for Zechariah, this silent period of gestation along parallel lines with Elizabeth and her own gestation going on. A primary role for a priest was speaking, like for pastors. For priests, it was speaking blessings, speaking judgments, speaking into things, teaching, speaking publicly in worship, speaking. And suddenly, no words. So what did he do? We're not told in Scripture, but we can assume that he kept on doing what he could do, to pray and to read Scripture. So I picture him spending long hours with opened scrolls, like us sitting with our Bibles opened, carefully rereading the sacred story of faith, the stories, the prayers, the prophecies, rereading them not to teach, not to preach, not to instruct, but reading them to remember them and to dwell in them, to soak in them. And I picture him seeing the threads of this long, rich, sacred story coming together in fresh ways, like this beautiful fabric, a garment of praise, as he saw all this coming together freshly. And realizing that God has, in fact, remembered what he's promised, to bring justice, to set things straight, to show mercy enough to take our breath away. And I picture him sensing, as never before, God's closeness. God rising like the dawn after a dark night. Like what Zechariah said at the end of his song about the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven and shine on those living in darkness. And all of this took shape in that most personal, intimate configuration in their child, John, this baby. After John's birth, Elizabeth and Zechariah basically fade from view. We don't hear anything more about them. And we don't hear anything more about John for a while. It's only three chapters in the Bible, but it's about 30 years that pass. And then he bursts on the scene as this baptizing prophetic preacher out along the Jordan River, which was 17 miles east of Jerusalem. And John set up at the Jordan River baptizing. He preached two main themes that he continued to hang on to. The Lord is coming, and repent. The Lord is coming, and repent. In the Gospel of John, we read that some Jewish leaders went out to the Jordan to check him out, to find out what is he all about. And they asked, "Who are you? Are you like Elijah that's come back? Who are you?" And John said, I love his reply. He said, "I am the voice. I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord." That's the most defining description of John. The voice. I'm the voice of the one preparing the way for the Lord. And that voice of John never wavered from those two themes of prepare the way for the Lord, repent. Repent. Prepare the way for the Lord. Now, a lot can be said about John the Baptist. But I'd like to refocus on Zechariah, John's dad, for a few minutes. Because what he's saying is so very central to understanding who John was and about why Jesus came. It's also revealing about Zechariah and Elizabeth's roles as John's parents. Look again at what Zechariah sang at the end of his song, beginning at verse 76. "You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you'll go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven and shine on those living in the land of darkness, living in the darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet on the path of peace. Of all the many things that are packed into this, that we could draw out and kind of put under the glass to look at, I'd like to just pull out one. It's that image of the rising sun coming to us from heaven to shine on people living in darkness and in the shadow of death. Shining like dawn after a long, dark night. Now, we in Minnesota, we in the Northland, we know a lot about long, dark nights. Sunrise today was at 7:40. And it'll go down at 4:31, not very long from now. That's only 8 hours and 51 minutes today. And we're still going to lose about 5 more minutes between now and the 21st, winter solstice. And that's about half of what it was in June. So we know about dark. The point being, we know about dark, and we know how during the fall it begins to creep in, and then with the end of daylight savings time, it just kind of catapults on top of us. And we wake up in the dark, and we come home from work in the dark. For some people, it's fine. For some of you, it's fine, or maybe you enjoy it. But for others, it's not. It's a weight to carry. A wintry spirit grows. And growing darkness is something to brace against and to do battle with. But it's not just visual. There's other darkness, too. There's dark news that we get virtually every day. Nationally, globally, locally. Or maybe it's family dynamics that come to the forefront during things like Christmas and Advent. Or maybe it's health issues or hopes that have gone dark. We know in various ways how darkness can creep in and grow up within us, feeling like it's on top of us. Yet here's this good word. It's a good word we should cling to, about God causing the rising sun to come to us from heaven in Jesus, whose way was prepared by John, the voice of one calling the wilderness, saying, "Repent, prepare the way for the Lord." Now, it seems to me that this word about light, about good news, about preparing the way, about repenting and being released, is something we should pay a lot of attention to. Good news coming in a world that's overrun with bad news, right? The good news about sun coming up in lives that know a lot of darkness, visually and otherwise. The good news about this rising sun coming to us, not only to push back the darkness, but also to show the way of peace. As Zechariah put it, to guide our feet on the path of peace. This is something we should pay attention to. Something that's impacted countless lives from the days of Jesus and John the Baptist to this very day. Here in Him there is forgiveness and release that can be found. Forgiveness and release from things that dog us and hang on us and that we can't be relieved of in any other way. Our sins. Here in Him there is light for living, like light coming up at dawn. Here in Him we come to know a way of living that gives more than it takes, that generates peace, that generates health and life. And here in Him we find the tender mercy of God in a world where harsh judgment and rejection so often rule the day and can rule our hearts. Thinking of Zechariah and the newborn son. The way that they absorbed why they had been given this son and came to know what he was destined to do. From everything we know about them, they released their child into this. They released him into the hands of God. God who is active and close, God who brings light into darkness, God who has tender mercy and can forgive and release us from our sins. We can do this in our own settings too. Each one of us in different ways. To encourage and release our children into the hands of God at whatever age they are. Whether it's our own children or grandchildren or our nieces and nephews or any children over whom we have some type of shaping role. It's not hoping for them, praying for them to become another John the Baptist. There won't be another one. John was a one and only. Instead, it's to intentionally seek for them and with them, our own children and other children and anybody coming along behind us, to seek with them and for them God's call in their lives, to pray, to encourage, to model for them life of seeking God who meets us with tender mercy, so full of promise and light, and who guides our lives onto the path of peace. It's to help others, children, anyone coming along behind us, anyone for whom we have any type of shaping role, to help them know the light of Christ. The lights that we have sparkling here this morning are about the light of Christ. What more important thing can we do with our lives than to point people to the light of the world, to the light of life, especially those who are coming along behind us? And who knows? Only God knows. Maybe the younger ones will show the older ones the wonder and beauty of brightness in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your hope that has come and does come into this world. Thank you for your light shining. Your light shining that comes into our lives and guides us into ways of true life. And hope and forgiveness and peace. Help us to be good witnesses at whatever point in the journey we are. Continue to grow us deep in our hunger for you and for all that you bring, to lay down our sins, to know your forgiveness, and to experience that release into life with you that is so full of awe. We commit each other into your hands, praying for your will to be done, for us to be light in this dark world, as you call us to be. We pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.